I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, what about video? It could be critical to solving the Nancy Guthrie case. And we've got the man, the body language and behavior expert, to help us break it all down.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SCS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. Don't call it a podcast. Don't call it a show. It is a global phenomenon with more than 50 countries represented in the best YouTube community in all the internets. And we are going to just get right to this, bringing in the man you all know, Dr. G Explains, psychologist and a body language and behavior expert. And Dr. G, I love doing these collaborations with you. Obviously, this Nancy Guthrie story has just taken over headlines, lead stories, you name it. It's all about Nancy Guthrie. And of course, there's a lot of talk about Jeffrey Epstein, separately speaking, because I know you've been covering that as well. That's a whole other can of worms. But in this particular story, it's really this nest door video that everyone has been looking at. This is who police are now calling a suspect. I know you also have a theory in this case. Before we get to the theory, yeah, and before we get to the nest cam video, just your overall reaction, I mean, just to the size and scope of this story so far.
It's one of the strangest stories in recent memory. It's bizarre from top to bottom. And as you said, I've really been covering more of the Epstein files, so I haven't gotten into the nitty gritty details with this, but I know enough about it to know the whole thing is bizarre. This is not how ransoms ever happen. So it's hard to even wrap your head around how awful it is, how awful I feel for all of the family involved, and just how strange it all is.
Yeah. And I was just going back through like my mental archives with some guests the other day. I mean, we remember the OJ Bronco chase. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Brian Koberger was big. This just feels different and huge. You think it's partly because of the celebrity and partly just because of the sort of the sensationalistic aspect of an 84-year-old woman being pretend. No one knows if she's kidnapped or not. Is that part of what this all is?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. We like to know what's going on, and nothing fits together very cleanly in this. It's not that every crime is the same, but there's certain rhythms and patterns. You go, yeah, okay, this is what we would expect. So far, everything in this has been unexpected. So yeah, it's just unusual, and we're drawn to unusual cases when something's shocking. I think it's hard not to lean into it and just go, I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, by the way, don't forget to like and subscribe, not only to Surviving the Survivor, but also Dr. G Explains, and his channel is blowing up for good reason. He's the best at breaking down body language and behavior, and as you heard him say, he's covering a lot of the Epstein file story. So without further ado, Dr. G, as you and I always do, I'm going to play this video. You just tell me when to stop, when to start, and we've got some stills as well, but here we go. This is now the nest door video of this person purported to be the suspect by authorities in the case. Here we go.
Let's go ahead and stop this here. I know it's not a very long video, so we'll probably play it a few times. One thing that was not in this video that was on the full version, which was a couple of seconds before, when he walks up, his head is down. And I think that that's because he thinks, what if there is a camera above me? He looks surprised when this net, when he sees a Nest cam. I've heard people say, and I don't know where the current theories are. Like I said, I'm not following this as closely as you are. A lot of people say, oh, he knew the house. He knew where things were. I don't think so. I don't think he expected that Nest camera at all. He didn't. If you watch his eyes, it catches his eye when he gets to the door. I think the reason why is that most of us don't know what Nest cameras look like. Have you seen what the Nest camera looks like? It's unusual.
Maybe.
It's tall and skinny. It doesn't look like a Ring doorbell. You can see it's a big like block. A Nest camera is not. It's like tall and thin looking. So it doesn't look like your typical doorbell cam. So I don't think he even knew it was there. It will rewind if we can in a second. Watch his eyes catch that and then realize, okay, now I got to cover this up. So this is not somebody who's intimately familiar with the house. Doesn't mean this isn't somebody that knows her, but this is not somebody that knew there was a camera there, I don't think.
Interesting. And yeah, you're right. This is not the version where he kind of ducks his head. Yeah. But I'll take it back to the beginning and keep an eye out for that. And now that you mentioned the Nest camera, I do, because he eventually takes it off of the mounting, and you can tell that it's that long, narrow type mounting. But here we go. Let me bring it back. Here we go.
See, he just glanced and saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It caught him off guard. And as you can see, he's almost, because I don't think he knows what it is, he's almost gingerly touching it right now, trying to like figure, okay, how do I cover this thing? Rather than just knocking it off the wall or ripping it off, he's still trying to figure out what to do. And if you'll notice, he immediately looked on the ground behind him. So for people that say this is someone who knows the landscape very well, I suppose you could be looking around even if you knew the area, but he immediately looks down to the left to see if there's anything to cover the camera with. And
Right there, you're saying.
Yeah, right there. Look, he's looking for something. Is there anything around me? So if this was somebody that knew it really well, they'd know there's nothing there. So they wouldn't be looking right there for something.
What about like the cat? Look how casual he seems to be walking. Is that something to take into account?
I mean, I think so. I think that he's being very casual with all of this because he's trying to not arouse suspicion. I also think this is somebody who's not used to doing this. I mean, if you look at... He's not very activated. This is not somebody who's rushing, who's trying to like rush in, knock the camera off, get inside. He really is taking his time. I think he's trying not to bring attention to himself. He just glanced off in the distance. But at the same time, it just doesn't seem, and I'm sure law enforcement, I know you've had law enforcement on, I'm sure they've said this, but everything about this doesn't feel very professional. His gun is in the strangest place. He's wearing gloves with nitrile gloves on top of them, from what I can tell. So they were doubled up on gloves. He's
that was my next question. That's the reason I paused it here is Phil Ramos, homicide detective with Vegas, thinks he's wearing multiple layers of gloves.
For sure. It's gloves on gloves, which if you're going to actually use a gun is completely ridiculous, which says two things. One is that this individual did not want to leave DNA behind. They're very aware that you could leave DNA behind and he did not want to do that. So he's wearing gloves on gloves so that it won't leave any sort of smudges or prints or anything identifiable by the glove. But also maybe he had planned on being violent, you know, that if he was going to attack or actually assault the person that whose house he's breaking into, that he's trying to make absolutely sure that he doesn't leave behind any of his own DNA. Because if you look at the way this person's dressed, it's all very tight. Like, obviously, there's a little bit of facial hair. But otherwise, you know, they're pretty well covered up and have a heightened awareness of their DNA, but of nothing else, like not on how to pull off a crime like this, not on how to just like crack a doorbell camera. There's just no awareness on. And the idea of having to cover the Ring doorbell with flowers, like the whole thing it's so peculiar, right? Like, it's just odd.
So what does it tell you that he's so, cognizant of the DNA with the gloves, but yet so unprofessional with everything, other aspect.
So to me, this says this is my belief is, and I'm always open to being wrong, by the way, but I do think that this is not a career criminal. This is someone who has the ability to think about things in a way that a non-criminal would. So, you know, if you were going to go break into somewhere, Joel, you probably would think, well, I don't want to leave any DNA behind, but you wouldn't really know the process to do it because you're not used to doing that stuff. But you certainly know, I don't want them to find out who I am. I know that much. And so that's what, to me, this says. This is someone who historically is not a criminal in this way. Maybe they've done other things, but not robberies, not break-ins like this. Why they have the gun holster aimed practically at their crotch, I don't know. And it's a really cheap holster, too. Like, the whole thing is, everything feels cheap. So this, to me, also says this is somebody that doesn't have a ton of money, or else they were just trying to look for extremely generic things that everybody owns.
Yeah, I mean, we've had law enforcement on who say there's no way this guy is a, firearms expert, let alone a person who even knows how to use a firearm, because no one would ever holster a gun sort of in that phallic manner.
And good luck firing it with two pairs of gloves on, too. I mean, I don't think this person was expecting to use their gun that day. So I don't think they were going in to shoot anybody.
What do you make of another thing that's come up a lot is this backpack. When he turns around here, you say he looks away from the nest. That's where he's noticing the nest. But and this is amazing to have you walk us right there. That backpack is filled to the gills, man. Yeah. What do you think's in there? What's
I would assume it's going to, I think it's some kind of tarp that he was planning on conducting a kidnapping. I think that it's something that to cover the victim in at some point, because obviously if you're going to rob a place, you're going to want to go in with an empty backpack, not a full one. So it can't be that he's going in to steal anything. That can't possibly be what he was thinking there. So I think that if you look at the shape of it, he could have a tarp of some kind or something to try to cover her up with. That's what would be my best guess.
I've heard tarp, and then someone else said something that's just stuck with me that it fits the shape of an Elon Musk Starlink. And since it's a desert, maybe this guy's holed up somewhere that's like in a transient spot where he needs.
This dude did not even think that this woman would have a doorbell camera. There's no way in hell that's a Starlink anything. There's no way.
I'm just going to play it back because it's so short here, and just tell me anything else, and then I'll put up some stills. And I know you have a somewhat self-described outrageous theory on this case, which I want to hear, but anything else with a video that we need to be aware of?
Well, I would just say, there's one other element that I pointed out that it's somebody who doesn't know the area well, because he's looking around, immediately looks to his left. Oh, this is nothing to cover it with. Walks past the door, still nothing to cover it with. The only other possibility would be that if this is somebody who knows the area well, that there used to be something there. So if a week ago there was something there that would have worked, that's worth thinking about. I doubt it. I do not think this is somebody who is intimately familiar with this area. But then again, if there used to be something there that would have actually worked, that's worth considering as well. But I don't know the layout of the house. I don't know if anybody would remember if a few days before this happened, if something used to be sitting there. Seems unlikely, but he is clearly looking directly in that corner for something.
More than one person, multiple people have said that they see a car out on the right. I don't see it at all with like headlights. I see lights on the left there, but people keep saying out in the back right. I don't know what they're talking.
I got a very big monitor and I see pretty clearly. To me, I personally don't see any car back there. I just see bushes or brush or whatever that is.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's the video. I'll put up some stills, but another question for you before we get to your theory on this, which I hope you're willing to share. Do you think this person is operating alone or in tandem with someone else?
That's a great question. I don't think that anybody else is. He didn't make any reference to anybody else. So in other words, there was no nods. There was no like waving. There was nothing that would suggest that somebody else was close enough by that they were within like eyeshot of him. Given the size of this dude, because it looks like if he's doubling up, he's got fairly small feet. He probably has relatively small hands if he's doubling up on gloves. This is not a big dude. There's no way he carried Nancy Guthrie out of that house on his own with his just fully carried her or anything like that. So it's possible somebody could help him. But I don't have a good answer for that. He certainly could be working with somebody, but I don't think there was anybody close by at that time. So
now some people here have said they think this guy has a gold tooth that's reflecting. Others say they think he's got a flashlight, like a bite light that he can hold in his mouth. Yeah. They make flashlights. What do you think of those two options or something else?
No, I think that I would think that's a flashlight. I don't think that a gold tooth would cause that intense of a reflection. It would look more like the reflectors maybe on the clothes. I don't even know if a gold tooth would reflect at all, actually. So, yeah, I think that's an actual light. Like, that's a bite light of some kind. So I take that as he's trying to see what he's doing. But so he has enough of an idea, had enough planning to have something like that, because I assumed maybe he thought he would be walking around in the dark. But you know, didn't plan for much else. But I do think that's actually a light. Yeah.
And this picture's odd. It almost looks like he's got like a synthetic mask. You see like a little facial hair.
It looks
I don't know. It's probably the lighting.
Yeah. No, but the facial hair looks almost drawn on. I do see that because I've had people say, oh, this is somebody who's faking facial hair. It's incredibly dark facial hair. It does look strange. I don't think he's wearing a mask or anything outside of the ski mask, but whether or not that's actual facial hair or whether or not it was like to throw people off in case somebody spotted this, I don't know. I imagine it is real facial hair. I've assumed this is a Hispanic male. That's the impression I get, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. Now, aside from body language and behavior, which you're a world expert at, you're also a psychologist. You talk to people, and there are a lot of nutty people out there. Sure. What's your theory on the case?
So, well, first of all, as far as, and this angle, by the way, looks more like real facial hair, but you know, my theory on the case, and okay, so I don't have a, here's a possibility. That's what I'm going to throw out because I know I don't want to sound like a lunatic. So I've been trying to figure out who could this possibly be. There's three possibilities. Either it's somebody that the family knows well, right? It could be a completely random, or it could be somebody that has come into contact with Nancy Guthrie, but doesn't know her exactly or knows her a little bit. And that's the area I've been exploring. Everybody's already been talking about what if it's somebody close to her, and if it's random, then it's random and that's just crazy. My thought has been, is this been somebody she's interacted with in a medical setting or something like that, or a pharmaceutical setting in some way? Is this somebody who knows that she has, who planned this out thinking, somehow finding out this is Savannah Guthrie's mom and maybe somehow planning, I know that she's got medical issues, so if I do ransom, they're going to have to pay it quick, otherwise she'll die. Maybe it's somebody that knew enough about, and like I said, this is just best guess stuff because everybody has already talked about all the interesting things, I'm sure. So this is just my sort of weird theory as we still don't know who this is. Is this somebody that works in a medical setting? This certainly doesn't appear to be a career criminal. Is it somebody who fell in hard times that, you know, works as an intern or something like that? I have no idea which position they would have, but I just keep going back to like, is this somebody that knew Nancy Guthrie's history well enough to think that somehow would work in their favor for the ransom part of it?
So like a peripheral contact. So the three choices, you know them intimately, you don't know them at all, or like peripherally, and you're leaning that way.
Somebody that you met at a somebody that works at a doctor's office, that kind of thing. Yeah. So,
yeah. One other question for you, and I love this. This is short, sweet, and to the point is, you know, the obvious reporting, it's the elephant in the room early on. And I won't mention the reporter's name again because it's come up so many times. But the early indication from this reporter was, you know, it's someone from the family circle, potentially the brother-in-law. That has not been corroborated. In fact, the sheriff has said they do not have a suspect. But if for a moment, if we just go with that, do you think family, if it was the brother-in-law or the sister somehow involved, that after 13 days of this, that they would be able to defy the pressure, the insurmountable pressure of this, and keep it themselves without cracking or without Savannah or her brother, the F-16 fighter pilot, realizing it and being able to figure it out?
It's very hard. That's a great question. I would think that after this amount of time that, well, we don't really know what goes on in the minds of the family members. So who knows if what Savannah or those other people think. But I would think at this point, if they were truly involved in this, I think that there would be a lot of suspicion from the people closest to them. So, you know, it's so strange. We try to make sense of it. And that's why I think people go to, it was the brother-in-law or somebody else that was close, was involved. And maybe they were. I guess we're going to find out. But it seems implausible to us that it wasn't, because there's no coherent alternative explanation that's obvious. And usually, you know, whenever it comes to, you've covered enough true crime to know, when the wife dies, the husband's the first guy who gets interrogated, right? So in a situation like this where an elderly woman gets abducted, which I literally cannot think of the last time that happened, and it's so strange, you go, well, of course it's somebody who knows her, has to be, right? But that may not be the case, and people aren't necessarily going to crack under pressure. People can hold it together fairly well if you're enough of a psychopath to do this to somebody. You could probably hold it together, because their degree of feeling would probably be less than other people's if you truly perpetrated something like this.
Yeah. Final question. Yeah. We're 13 days in. It doesn't seem like we're much closer, if at all closer, yeah, to cracking this case. Do you think it gets cracked soon because of the amount of resources, or does this go on for a while?
Somebody has to recognize this person. The question is law enforcement getting overwhelmed with the amount of tips? Are there legitimate tips that are getting buried in all of that? Or because somebody has to recognize this face. There are a lot of, I think anybody that knows this person closely has to recognize them, but maybe they're the last person they would suspect of doing something like this. So they're not reporting it because they go, hey, this person's a nurse. There's no way they would do this kind of thing. You know, I'm not saying that they are, but yeah. The reason I keep going back to that for myself is that if I understand right, Nancy Guthrie had quite a lot of medical issues. So she would have a lot of medical appointments, and I don't know what else, how social she is, but that's the kind of place where you might talk about, you know, that you have a famous daughter or these kinds of things. So I just keep going back to that is probably a completely ridiculous theory, but that
I think it's fascinating, and I'm hopeful with that theory, because if it's a healthcare taker or former aide or something like that, maybe they'll be a little more careful with her, and maybe she's still with us. What's your gut tell you about whether she is with us or not, though?
My gut tells me that she is not, only because it feels so implausible, given, you know, my wife's been following this very closely and has filled me in on a lot of this. We talk about this. It just, I hate to say it, but it does feel implausible given her health history, but not impossible. It feels very unlikely at this point that she would still be alive, but I hope that she is. And I hope that whoever has her ransom has some concept of how to keep her going right now, because this is awful. I cannot imagine the trauma that Nancy Guthrie has gone through with this. It's really awful.
Yeah, he doesn't need help, but he is Dr. G Explains. He's got a massive YouTube channel that's just getting massiver and massiver. So check it out, Dr. G Explains. This, of course, is Surviving the Survivor. Please give us all likes and subscribes. We've got a Patreon page here. And do me a favor, in the comment section below, drop us a note. Dr. G and I are good friends, and let us know what you think of this collaboration. If you'd like to see us continue to do this on different stories, and I got to tell you, I'm indebted to Dr. G for taking the time right now. His coming on our show helps us tremendously. I always try to pay back the favor, and somehow I'll figure it out. But Dr. G, absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Love you, America. Love you, Georgia. Love you, Tucson. And let's get Nancy Guthrie back home. Dr. G, stick around.